greet you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. A blessing to be here, this beautiful day that God has given us. I invite you to turn with me to Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Two verses that I've chosen for text verses. This verse here in Micah 6, 8, and then a verse out of Job 34, verse 4. Very familiar verse. Micah 6, 8, it was actually a motto in a home where I grew up on the wall. So I've kind of memorized this verse because of that. And it says here, Micah 6, verse 8, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The verse in Job 34, verse 4 says, Let us choose to us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good. I've titled the message this morning, What is Good? With a question. What is good? When I looked in the dictionary this morning, the 1828 Webster's, there was it's a pretty big book, and it would have taken up a whole page of one side of that book for the definition of good. So I'm not even going to try to get into that. We could spend a lot of time, probably half an hour, on the definition of good. There's that much to it. I had no idea there was that much of a definition in the Webster Dictionary. But this morning, as you think of good, I think all of you have an idea in your mind as to what is good. You know, and granted, there are things in life that we deem good that are personal tastes and preferences, not necessarily right or wrong. But spiritually, when we think about good or evil, or right or wrong, or when we think of good or evil, we're thinking of right or wrong in the spiritual sense most of the time. In Micah here, God is saying that He has showed us what is good. God is saying He has showed you what is good. Do you believe that? That God has really showed you what is good. In Job, it says, Let us know among ourselves what is good. So, according to these two verses here, God really does care that we know what good is. God really does care that we know what is good and what is wrong or what is bad or what is evil. God really wants us to know what is right and what is good. You know, often in life, the things that we look at and think of as good aren't actually that good. And a lot of times the things that we think aren't really so good, not so nice, are actually the things that are good. And when you think about food, for instance, when you think about a food that is good, your favorite food, you know, chances are that food looks good to you, and when you put it in your mouth, there's that special taste there that really makes you feel good. It tastes good to you. But is it really good for you? You know, when you think about a food like a cake, you know, a white cake that is loaded with sugar and white flour, you know, an inch of frosting on the top and down the sides, you know, maybe happy birthday or happy anniversary and flowers, you know, a lot of food coloring. It looks good, doesn't it? But is it actually good? Or then you think about food like, you know, vegetables or, you know, good lean meat or beans or, you know, things like that might not taste that good, and it might not look that appealing on the table. But when you eat it, you can feel good about yourself. And you can feel good physically when you eat that. Versus if you hog in on that cake, later, I know for me, I don't feel so good. I wish I hadn't eaten that. Or, you know, not near that much of that. So God is wanting us to know what is good. And thinking back again to eating, you know, sometimes we sit back from a meal and we pat our stomach and say, you know, that was good. You know, but what actually is good? We think about spiritually, you know, when things go on in our life, you hear a message that is preached and you think about afterwards, now that was a good message. Well, was it good because it sounded good, it felt good in your ears, or was it good because of conviction and change it brought in your heart? It actually didn't feel good to you, but it was good in the sense that it brought conviction and it brought repentance to your heart. So there's a difference there in how we define good. And God here is concerned that we know what is good. He wants us to know among ourselves what is good. And he says here, he has showed us what is good. The previous verse in Micah 6 and verse 7, it says, it asks a question there. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Asking the question there. You know, can you even give your child for your sin, for your transgression? Is that good? And we know that that is a sin where, you know, the people that offered their children in sacrifice to idols. But it says in verse 8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And he asks, you know, what does the Lord require of thee? Nothing that is that hard. Just that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. That is what he is saying is good. A life that is changed, a life of repentance, a life of submission, a life of brokenness and surrender to the will of God. Like we heard last Sunday, not I, but Christ. So when we think about things in life, you know, food and spiritual things, does something that looks good and tastes good qualify it to be called good? Not necessarily. You know, does something that is good for you but doesn't necessarily look good or taste good, does that qualify to be called good? You know, chances are it does. We think about things like, you know, the shootings and the bombings and the various sins out there in the world today. And we look at those as evil, as bad. But is there any such thing as something that is so evil that there is not something that God can bring some good out of? You know, we look at that as bad. And it's sin. It's wrong, you know, to kill somebody else. We look at sickness. Is there something that is so bad that God cannot bring a little good out of that? We look at a financial setback and we look at that as bad. But can God use that for our good? A lot of times he does. Well, what about a financial success? When things go well and the money comes rolling in and we look at that as good, well, that could actually be bad. Because maybe I get to thinking like the Church of Laodicea. I am rich and increased with goods and I have need of nothing. And we began to think opposite of what our Sunday school verse, our theme verse said today, that we began to think that our sufficiency is of ourselves, and we forget that our sufficiency is of God. And that, of course, is not good when we have that mindset. In the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve that you can eat of all the trees here in the garden, but he said of that one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you cannot eat of that. He said, because when you eat of that, you're going to die. You're most certainly going to die when you eat of that tree. Later, Satan came to Eve with his lies, and he said, you know, did God really say that you can't eat of that tree? And Eve said, yeah, he did. He said, we can eat of all the trees, but of this one tree. Well, Satan said, this was a blatant lie. He said, you shall not surely die. He said, God knows that in the day you eat of that, you're going to be like gods, knowing good and evil. And it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Remember that cake with all the icing? And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, was that good? She saw that it looked good, but it actually was not good. So actually, what was good for Adam and Eve? What was good for Adam and Eve was being in the garden, having a perfect relationship with God. I believe God would have come walking in the garden, and Adam and Eve were not afraid, and they had everything that they could wish for right there. Everything they needed. It was good. And remember, God said after he had created all this, God said he looked on it and he said it was very good. It was all right. And here Satan comes and he tries to make Eve believe that God was withholding something good from them. Well, God was not withholding anything good from them. You know, Satan's lies so many times are just like that cake. It looks so good and it looks so appealing, but afterwards, it doesn't feel good at all. It makes you sick. The Bible says in Psalm 84 that the Lord will give grace and glory, and that no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And he goes on and he says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. So can we trust God completely? Believe that he is not withholding any good thing from us whatsoever? And believe that even when I want something so bad, something that looks so appealing and so good to me, but God has said no, to believe that God knows best and that God really does know what is good, and that God's spirit that is telling me to obey God knows what is good. And I believe really that is the way that God shows us what is good, is through his spirit. You know, sometimes it seems like there's something that I think is good for me, but it seems like God, for some reason, is withholding that thing from me, and I'm just convinced that that thing would be good for me. And, of course, Satan would bring temptation to make me believe that God is being unfair. So do I trust him completely? Do I take him at his word here in Psalms 84 that he will not withhold any good thing from me? You know, when we come to the point where we believe that God is withholding something good from us, which actually is not good for us, and it could even possibly be sin, like it was in the case of Adam and Eve, we would come to the point where we would see God as the enemy, We would come to the point where we would see Jesus Christ as working against us, as our enemy, and withholding something good from us. And we would think, you know, if it wouldn't be for Jesus, if it wouldn't be for God, then I could have this good thing that I want so bad. But the Bible says that God's ways are so much higher than our ways, and His thoughts than our thoughts. You know, and maybe the thing in itself that we're wanting is not wrong in itself. But maybe it's because God is withholding it because He wants our heart. And the Bible tells us that we should love the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. With everything we have within us. So maybe that other thing would become an idol to me if God would let me have it. And that is why God is withholding it. Because God sees the whole picture. God knows what I would do with it. So, you know, when we trust God completely, God will never be our enemy. He becomes our enemy when I don't trust Him. And when I begin to think and to believe that He's working against me, I make Him my enemy. He doesn't become my enemy. God doesn't make Himself my enemy. I make Him my enemy by refusing to accept His goodness. And the Bible says that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So why does God lead us to repentance? Is it because He wants to lord it over us? No. It's because He loves us and He wants what's best for us. So if the Lord Jesus Christ is like seeming like as if He were your enemy this morning, it's because you made Him your enemy. You chose to believe something wrong about God, about Jesus. Think about Good Friday for a minute. Why do we call that day that we keep as the day when Jesus was crucified, why do we call that Good Friday? You know, what was good about the crucifixion of Jesus? You know, I'm sure, you know, if we'd have been one of the disciples back in that day, we would not have felt good about that at all. It would not have looked good to us. But now, you know, we are beyond that. And we look back and we see that back there. And we see the whole story, or at least most of the story. It's not finished yet. And we see what the Word of God says about that. And we can see why that was good, because we see the results of Easter. We see the result of the resurrection when Jesus rose from the dead and that tomb is empty. That stone was rolled away and Jesus rose from the dead. You know, Easter could not have happened without Good Friday. Without death, there could be no resurrection. You know, in the same way in our life, it's so often in life that there are things that appear bad or that appear to be evil. It may be that if we trust God with those things, that it will actually be like the resurrection. It'll be like Easter in our life if we just trust God with it. And God will do great things with that. But it's so important that we let go and we let God so that He can work His good for us. You know, because God really does know what is best for you and for me in our lives. The Bible says in Psalms 37 that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And it says He delighteth in His way. So who is a good man? In Psalms 14:3, it says, they are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, this verse is in the Bible three times, very similar, similarly written in Psalm 53 and then again in Romans chapter 3. So, if this verse here is saying that there is none that doeth good, there is none good, no, not one, why does the Bible say that this in Psalm 37 that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Is this just saying that if there were a good man, that his steps would be ordered by the Lord? Or is there actually such a thing as a good man? Even though the Bible is saying that they are all gone aside, that there is none good, not one. Now you've probably already heard of the thing of good, better, and best. And we think about this thing here of all having gone aside, as it says in Psalm 14. They are all turned aside. And I think in Psalm 53 it says they have all turned back. And it's speaking of the carnal nature of man doing his thing. But when God takes, we heard this morning about the ordinary men in the devotional. Brother Jay was talking about, you know, ordinary men that God took and he did something through them and in their lives. When God takes that ordinary man, he takes that man with a carnal nature, and God draws that man. He speaks to him through his spirit and he convicts him of his sin, and he brings him to the point where he says, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he repents and he is born again. He responds to that Spirit of God, and he loves the Lord, and he walks with God, and he abides in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you have a good man. His sufficiency is not of God, is not of himself, but is of God. And that, my friends, is best. When you think of good, better, and best, that is good news, and that is the best. It is better than good. It is the best. In Psalms 33, verse 1, it says that praise is comely for the upright. Or it's saying that it is good. Praise is good for the upright. It is good to praise God, is what that is saying. I have to think of the Palm Sunday crowd. You know, there where they were praising Jesus as he was coming into Jerusalem. And even Jesus said that if these would be quiet, that the very stones would cry out. Praise is comely. Praise is good. But I had to wonder, there when Jesus was there in Pilate's hall, and this mob, this multitude was crying out, crucify him, crucify him, away with him. His blood be on us and our children. How many of that mob were in that crowd that was praising Jesus? I don't know. But I'm wondering if there weren't part of that same crowd. So how many times, as this verse here says, it is good to praise God, it is comely, it is good. How many times have I praised God with my lips, but then with my actions, I have crucified Jesus? As Jesus said of the Pharisees, that they draw near with their lips, but their heart is far from me. A good man. A man whose sufficiency is of God, not of himself. A good man. A man whose praise is sincere, is coming from a heart that is filled with love for the Lord Jesus. That is good. You know, it is good when God takes a sinner like me, and he changes that life to a life that glorifies God. So as you go through life, before you blame God, make sure that the thing that you are asking for is really good. Ask yourself the question, what is good? Not what is good in my mind, but what is good in God's mind for me. Make sure that you are abiding in Jesus Christ, that you are loving him with all of your soul, your mind, your strength, with everything you have, with all of your heart, that there are no idols in your heart, or that the thing that you are longing for and wanting is not something that would be an idol in your heart. And before you reach out in that temptation, that moment of weakness, you reach out and you take that thing that looks so good. Ask the Lord Jesus, is this really good? Is this really something that will glorify you? Or is this just something that looks good to me? You know, that thing may be just like that bait that the fish would swallow. It may have a hook inside that'll cause you a lot of pain and grief if you reach out and you take that. You know, in your life, if you trust the Lord Jesus completely, give him everything, you'll walk with him, and you abide in him, and you find your fulfillment in him in life. You find your fulfillment in him. You will never have to wonder what is good, because you will know that he is good, that God is good, and that he is not only good, but he is the best. And I had to think of Matthew 25, where it says that Jesus will be there and he will separate good and evil. He will separate the sheep from the goats. You know, what could be better or more good to hear at that day than to hear those words, "Come, ye blessed of my Father"? Now that will be good. Or what could be more bad than to hear the words, "Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you." How terrible. So what is good? It is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And then, when Jesus returns to hear those words, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you." Inherit that. I don't deserve that, but he is giving it. Now that, my friends, is good. And it's forever. Let's kneel in prayer.